This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind business growth event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow your own dream business. You'll learn some of the best marketing and business building advice, all in a pitch-free zone. Jim will reveal step-by-step how to create a million-dollar platform, and you'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease and how to attract a steady stream of new customers. At Dream Business Academy, you'll network with other successful entrepreneurs and also learn from rock star entrepreneur and Jim's personal mindset coach, Melanie Benson Strick. This not-to-be-missed event is May the 4th through the 6th in beautiful San Diego, California, and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details and register today at www.dreambizacademy.com. That's dreambizacademy.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Jim Palmer's Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Jim Palmer is a marketing and business building expert, author, speaker, and an in-demand coach. He's the founder of the Dream Business Academy and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, the hit weekly web TV show based on Jim's smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out at www.newsletterguru.tv. And now, please welcome the host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things, no matter what business you're in. I am Jim Palmer, your host, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show. I get to interview Jeffrey Goodman, who I got to meet a couple weeks ago from some other podcasts, which is fun, and we'll talk about that. But Jeffrey Goodman is becoming a major catalyst for positive change as we are about to experience one of the greatest progressions in how people actually choose to do business. Today, Jeffrey uses his combined talents and wisdom to inspire a major paradigm shift. Actually, we consider it an evolution. Jeffrey has a long history of business successes. He started as an international fashion advertising photographer, creating trend-setting campaigns for his clients. And for the last decade or so, he's owned a holistic wellness practice, working with thousands of clients all over the world. He's often booked for about 5 to 7 months with a waiting list, which is very cool. We're going to have to ask him about that. His clients have ranged from children to sports athletes, multimillionaire household-named entrepreneurs, and even some animals. And now, his latest success, Career Heart, it's an innovative business course for passionate, heart-focused, and right-brained entrepreneurs. Jeffrey, welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio. Thank you for being my special guest.
Jim, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
So, you know, a couple things. When I read through these introductions, I got to make sure I ask them about that. So I'm going to ask you about what's a right-brained entrepreneur. But tell me a little bit about how you really moved from, you know, international fashion, advertising, and photographer into kind of the holistic wellness practice. That's kind of a major shift in careers.
It really was, and I would say it was one that was not planned. There's a long story to it, but I'm going to give you the short bullet points to it. I was in my world of fashion photography. I was 32 years old. I've been shooting since I was 9. I mean, that was my world. And some friends came in town and said, hey, why don't you come take this class in energy healing? And I live in Arizona, close to Sedona, so I've heard about that kind of woo-woo stuff before, and I figured, oh, you know, that might be interesting. So I went just for fun, took the class just for fun, and called some of my friends and said, hey, I took this weird class in energy healing. Why don't you come check it out? And I want to try it on you. And they had some successes. And at that same time, within 3 months of just playing with this, just doing this for fun, kind of like you and I would take a cooking class, all of a sudden my entire photography career just disappeared. My photo assistant I had for 10 years, he moved to New York. My stylist I had for 6 years, he had a nervous breakdown, and he says he's dropping out of the business for a while. My photo lab that I've been using for 10 years, they closed down. And all my clients, and some of my clients I've had for 10 years that were probably making several millions of dollars a year off my photography and the campaigns and marketing materials we're creating for them, all went in different directions. So I suddenly found myself, for the first time ever, without any photography business. Yet at the same time, I had this waiting list of people wanting to come see me for this energy work that I was doing, some of the personal development work I was doing with them. And I just looked at it and said, I guess I'm going in this direction now, and just kind of moved there just in a matter of just 3 months.
That's pretty interesting. Well, and the first thing I heard you say was the woo-woo stuff. This, you know, I'm good friends with Melanie Strict, and she's my personal mindset coach, and she's in California. I often talk about some of the woo-woo stuff. So I'm glad to hear somebody else use that terminology.
I do.
What is a right, Jeffrey? What's a right-brained entrepreneur? What do you mean by that?
This comes from, you know, a little bit of my background. So I talked about photography. When with my success as a photographer very young, I had a lot of other photographers coming to me saying, look, how did you get so successful? And I started teaching them business, but I started to experience that they had trouble grasping business in a way that made sense to them. And there's this kind of creative right brain way of thinking that some people have. So I'd say the right brain entrepreneurs are these creative people. They're the ones that are very inventive. They'll see an idea that has not been solved before. They'll see a problem and create a new idea for it. They're the ones that seem to just always be in that kind of far future mindset of knowing that something new needs to be developed. When I got into the healing world, the same thing. I hear these people that are wanting to help people and heal people, and they're seeing problems they want to solve, and they're in that kind of passionate, very inventive mind frame of thinking. I'll share one more, even doing it on this call, is what I also like to joke is the right brain entrepreneurs are the masters of the run-on sentences. We have so many ideas, we never seem to be able to stop talking.
I hear you. What do you find are the biggest challenges that, you know, these people have with starting a business? You know, it's interesting. I'm pretty sure I heard you just say something similar to they don't quite know how to do it or whether to do it or like what's, because I work with a lot of entrepreneurs who are like just gung-ho, pedal to the metal. But I guess you're finding through your training and some of your, you know, the work you're doing that there are some people who really have an entrepreneurial spirit about them but aren't quite sure what to do. Did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. And we'll kind of break that down in a couple different areas. So the question was about what is their biggest challenges, and say the biggest challenge that they have is that they're entrepreneurial. They might have some business sense, but there's so much to be done in the business that they get often very overwhelmed in knowing all these things that they need to do. And one of the other areas that they find is that they're with small business is that, as you're saying, they have that passion. They're the term you use, that kind of pedal to the metal. They're ready to go. They're just so excited and passionate about their product or service that they want to create. Yet there's so much that needs to be done, as you know, running your business. There's so many different things to do that they often get lost in the so many different hats. You know, we have to be an expert in our product or service we're creating, and then we have to be great marketing people and then great web developers. And, you know, if we're using certain client management softwares, we have to become experts in software. That they really just get this sense of overwhelm that there's so many things to do all at once, even with all their passion, is that they don't even know what to do first.
Very cool. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges that these people face? I'm guessing feeling overwhelmed and not knowing where to start or what to do first. That's probably the that's probably a big driver. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It is that overwhelm. And that's one thing that when I've been doing the advising and coaching, and then also the reason why I wound up developing this course, is helping people transition out of that overwhelm. And where this comes from was when I was working with people is, helping them better understand business in a way that makes sense to them. That is, right brain entrepreneurs understand their craft, whatever they're choosing that they're most passionate about, but it's understanding business in a way that makes sense to them. And so one way that I can share is I often use Mother Nature as a business model. It's a kind of a nice way for people to start to understand business in a way that makes sense. And I discovered that when I was working in the health and wellness, that there's a birth cycle that a baby goes through from conception till birth. And when I was working with these pregnant moms, I was learning more about this. At the same time, I'm also working with businesses, helping them, their businesses grow, seeing what some of the challenges are. I started to notice that these businesses would be missing these certain aspects and these certain pieces, which would be similar to if there's a problem during the birth cycle for a pregnant mom, that a process on that cycle got missed. And I started to see that the birth cycle of a business actually overlays perfectly with the birth cycle of a baby. And so I started to lay this out for business owners and showing them the step-by-step relating it to a birth cycle of a baby, and they could actually start to better understand the process and what they needed to do and often what areas that they might be missing and why their business is having some of the challenges that it's having.
I'm fascinated. I'm looking at my clock going, doggone, I wish I had more time, and we're not running short yet. But, I've never heard anybody describe it quite that way before, Jeffrey. Now, it's funny when I was talking with somebody this morning at one of my groups that I go to, and he said he was talking about one of my businesses. He goes, "Well, Jim, it's your baby, man. You birthed it." And I've heard that kind of phrase, but I never actually thought, "Well, does it really parallel, like you say, the birth of a baby?" So let me ask you this: I got to dive a little deeper here. Are you talking about actually creating the business? Everything up until the business is opened for business, so to speak, that would be like the birth. Or are you talking about the whole process of coming up with the idea and, the business reaches a certain point? Talk a little bit more about that. You piqued my interest.
Thank you. So, so the answer to your question actually is both. So you'll see this cycle repeat itself in a microcosm and in a macrocosm kind of way. So let's just talk about, for sake of time today, the cycle of a business from idea. Just someone's out there having a glass of wine, some friends, and they're talking about a problem, and someone has a idea. And very similar to a couple having the idea of, hey, let's create a baby. And so there's certain things that happen at that idea space, the mindset that you can actually correlate from creating a baby of a child to creating a baby of a business. And then from there's certain things at the conception time, what's created there, all the way through the 9-month cycle of creating a baby. For example, and this is one of the big things I see most businesses do, is they build their business out of order. So the birth cycle of a baby, it goes through, and at a certain point later in around the second, third trimester, it starts to really develop its own unique facial features. But there's all these things that need to be done before that can happen. And what happens with most businesses is they have an idea, they start a little bit, and they immediately jump to their marketing and promoting without all these other pieces in place first, and then they wonder why their business struggles. So if you can start to see, okay, what happens in the early stages of a development of baby, they actually relate directly to what you need to be doing at that early stage of your business.
That is so interesting. You know, my creative marketing brain is going crazy listening to you. I'll share some stuff after we're done with the interview. But man,
all right, please do.
Oh, my gosh, you've got something here. And, you know, the truth of the matter is we all know similar things. People, you know, there's not a lot new under the sun, so to speak. But finding a way for it to stand out, get recognized, get talked about, I mean, that's really what it's all about. So you really got something there. We'll have to dive a little bit deeper into that. So
we can, yeah.
Okay, Jeffrey. What are some of the ways that people can overcome the overwhelm that they feel, and avoid some of these mistakes in the future? I mean, so many people know when people that I work with in my coaching program, you know, I'm big on writing books, I'm big on speaking, I'm big on creating information products, training programs. There's so much to do, and when you talk about it, overwhelm. I can just see at a certain point, overwhelm just comes over their face and they kind of freeze and shut down. So overwhelm really is a big factor.
It is, and that's one of the, you know, I think issues that you and I, as doing what we do, try to help the people out there is help them kind of become underwhelmed and get them in a better process with their business so they can be inspired and move forward. So one of the ways of helping overwhelm is that's why I use this growth model as a process, is to help, you know, these creative people understanding this, you know, really starting understanding how that right brain works. The right brain works with so many ideas all at once, is if we can help them and give them a step-by-step process of say, okay, just focus on this now and you can do this next. So using that birth cycle of a baby and understanding that is one way that helps the overwhelm, because all you need to do is understand, what do I need to do now? Yes, I need to do this marketing and podcast and write the books and all that, but maybe that's not what I need to do right now. And so that's one area that helps. Another thing that I've done too that I've developed out is, again, another structure that helps the overwhelm is, and again, you said there's nothing new for businesses, working with the four seasons of a business and understanding, using Mother Nature again, how your business rotates through these four seasons and what happens in each season. So, for example, you know, the spring season is, I use the relationship of farming. This is when you're doing all your planting of your seeds, getting all the marketing materials out there. And also in knowing what type of marketing materials to put out at that time and what level of spending you need to do at that time. And another, the next season is summer. There's certain things you need to be doing at a summertime. And then your harvest or your fall, your autumn time is actually, that's when all the money comes in. And you need to be doing certain things of your business during that time. And the fourth season, which many tend to fear, is the winter time. And that's a time when we actually get to rest, but also start to repair and build on things that we learned when our business was busy. It was actually exciting. I was saw a student of mine that had taken my course just a couple weeks ago. They had started at a small farmer's market and weren't recognized at all. They took the course, and now they have their own restaurant. They're in Whole Foods for their product all over the place. I hadn't seen them for a while, and I said, how are you doing? And he looked at me and he said, I am so excited. I cannot wait for my winter time until our business can slow down, because there's all these other things I want to do. But he's learned, because he's in that autumn time when business is busy, all these other things that he needs to do can wait, because he needs to just operate in his autumn time. And he's no longer stressed and overwhelmed, because he uses that model, but he actually uses that model for his whole, for all his employees. So they're not stressed about talking about all these things they need to do. It's like, okay, we're in this season. This is all we need to do right now, and we can start to prepare for winter. And what we need to do with our spending during this time to prepare for winter, or if I'm in winter, what do I need to do to prepare for the next spring?
It's interesting, because I've been living in the Northeast Mid-Atlantic area for most of my life, and I'm sick and tired of winter. So I don't know if I'm going to move, if that's going to have an impact on me. And quite frankly, even in the wintertime, I don't rest much. I'm pretty much sleeping or going 110 miles an hour. You know, Jeffrey, I understand you created a model called the Four C's of a business, and it's for business owners that, you know, wear a lot of hats and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that I help people with is how to delegate and how to use leverage and things like that. Talk about the Four C's of business.
So, thank you. This is one of the areas I'm really excited about within CareerHub. It's something you said that there's not a lot new. I'd say this is probably maybe one of the new areas that's coming forward is just this. And this, like, came out of my own challenges of being a business owner and hiring people and consistently seem to be hiring the wrong people for the wrong positions and getting very frustrated, as well as also what we talked about initially was the overwhelm. I felt so overwhelmed. There's so many things that needed to get done to the point where I actually started resenting my own business. I didn't enjoy doing it anymore. And when I took a step back from it, I looked at what was really there. And this actually challenge came from a friend of mine that's a fifth-generation Harvard grad, and he said, we need to reinvent the C-suite, the CEO, the CFO, all of that, because we're starting to get into this new flatline business model, but there's nothing out there that really seems to work. So I created this, what I call the four C's, or the reinvention of the C-suite. And the first C is the one we talked about, is that kind of entrepreneur, but in, as I like to put it, is the creator. These are the inventors of the business. These are the ones that come up with the ideas and create something new that didn't exist before. For example, in this one, I like created a new model for business, which is the four C's. And I can keep talking. Oh, Jim, I'll let you interject if you need. The next C is, are the controllers. The controllers are the ones that take the creator's idea and all the chaos of that idea and helps the creator put it into kind of a system and order on strategy. What do we need to do next? How do we put all this great inventive fun stuff to do, and how do we actually put it into a business model that we can grow? The controllers, as I like to say, are the true leaders and managers of the company. They're the ones that really should be the CEOs, if you will, and letting the creator stay in that creative mindset, because the creator will be the one that will continuously bring in fresh new ideas, new inventions into the company. So the controller's job is to control all that, those new ideas, into a system and format and strategy of execution. The third C are the completers. These are the ones that are the work for hire. These are the worker bees. These are the ones that will take the strategy that the controller has developed and execute it, actually put it into form, helping the creator's idea actually manifest. And the fourth and final C are the capitalizers. These are the ones that I like to say, these are the true entrepreneurs. Capitalizers are the ones that will use capital, money, to take a creator's idea and get it to give it the gas that it needs to actually make it happen. Using Donald Trump as a just good example, he's a true capitalizer. He just sees businesses and knows how to leverage them and make them grow to another level.
That's very cool. I love that, you know, reinvention of the C-suite. Do you think that do you agree with all the people that you've studied and worked with that the creator, would you say that's the first one that's filled either by the entrepreneur themselves? I've known a lot of business owners, and I think most of them are creative and they lack the other, you know, everybody likes to create and build and new and stuff like that. But then, you know, to actually control it and get stuff done and you know, take it to the next level, that's, to me, seems to be the skill set that's needed next.
Yes, exactly. The businesses start with the creators. They're the ones that, you know, that's where the idea is seeded from, the birth from. It's without going too far into religion, that's what we even call, you know, some people refer to as whatever their deity is, but as the creator. And so that's where that also can come from, is that's where the idea is birthed from. If it actually happens, is then, yes, that next space is the controller actually putting it into form, if you will. putting some step-by-step process, if you will.
Wow. So in your intro, Jeffrey, I remember reading that you're booked out like 5 to 7 months with a waiting list, and you work with everybody from children, the sports athletes, million-dollar entrepreneurs, and animals. You know which one I'm going to ask you about, don't you?
The babies and the little children? No. So,
are you a horse whisperer or a dog whisperer? I mean, what are you talking about there?
Right. So that gets into the woo-woo part of my world, but yes. If you want to call it that, I've been trained. I've actually worked with Native Shaman on how to, if you want to do, tap into that world and work with that world and understand that. And, you know, and I know we have a little time left, but I'll share with you that one thing that I pulled from that world of understanding that there's actually a conversation that happens there. Now, when I first heard about that possibility, you know, you're coming from a guy that photographed models all day, so I've got a real big BS meter to some of this stuff, you know, even living as close to as I do to Sedona and all that stuff out there. And I really, even through all those filters of, yeah, this stuff doesn't really happen, I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, there is that conversation. So that whole horse whisperer, dog whisperer, being able to have a conversation with animals does exist. And what wound up happening with that skill that I've actually taught to people, other people, on how to do that within the healing world, because I used to teach healing, was when I got into starting to do business advising to some of my, you know, more, you know, the some of the multimillionaire people that own big businesses, that I used to would sit in their business and talk to them about what was going on in their business without knowing really anything other than sitting there. And they said, how do you know this, you know, information? You haven't done any analytics. You haven't started my business at all. And I just turned to them and said, your business is telling me. And I started to recognize that the business is a living being, just like a animal in a sense. And there actually is a dialogue that we can tap into, that we can actually talk to. And
that's awesome.
That's actually one of the skill sets that I've brought into my business course, is teaching people how to actually sit and talk with their business. And I'll show you, Jim, if you're interested in doing it, I'd be happy to sit down with you after the call and we can walk through to have you have that experience.
I appreciate that. Unfortunately, I do these calls back to back, so right. I will catch up with you. I would love to have you back in my program, because we're just about out of time. At some point, we got to dive deep, a little more deep into some of these topics. But I'm sure you've piqued the interest of a lot of my listeners, Jeffrey. How can they find out more about you, and what's a good place to connect with you?
Thank you. So they can go to careerhearted.com for just about the business courses and such I have. So instead of career-minded, it's career-hearted. We're moving more into the heart. And I also created a private page for your audience where I gave – there's a free book on there and a bunch of other discounts on courses. They go to jimpalmer.careerhearted.com. That'll be a private page just for them with discounts and free ebooks and assessments and a whole bunch of other fun stuff just on that page.
Oh, isn't that nice? Thank you very much. I appreciate you doing that, Jeffrey.
Absolutely.
Hey, folks, thank you very much, Jeff. It's been an awesome call. And, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with the very talented, as you can tell, Jeffrey Goodman. Remember, Stick Like Glue Radio, it is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. As always, I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio this time next week. Until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at iTunes and www.getjimpalmer.com. To learn more about Jim's Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program, visit www.dreambizcoaching.com. That's www.dreambizcoaching.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue radio podcast. Now, go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.